It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The U.S. Postal Service has had its share of travails. This includes a decline in the volume of first-class mail and a financial crisis. The lack of good news stories about the Postal Service seems to overshadow the important role this institution played in the creation of America, a role that is chronicled in the book How the Post Office Created America by Winifred Gallagher. She joins us now by phone from Wyoming. Winifred Gallagher, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for inviting me.
Did a seemingly endless string of stories about the decline of the Postal Service inspire you to write this book, or was it something else?
It was actually driving across our country. I live half the year in New York City, and about 10 years ago, my husband and I bought a little house on the Wind River in Wyoming, and like everyone else who's made that drive, I was struck in a gut sense by just how huge our country is, how much of it is still rural, and how varied it is, both in terms of culture and in terms of just sheer terrain. And I started wondering what kept the whole thing knitted together, what allowed the East Coast, where the United States was centered for a very long time, to hook up and participate as one country with the West Coast. And I actually had kind of a eureka moment, and I realized it was our communications and information network, our post office.
And so the post office, as you assert, and as we know from the title of the book, created America. But how did that happen?
It actually worked on four different levels: political, physical, social, and economic. Let's start with the political level. In 1792, the founders realized that if a country by, for, and of the people were going to function, the people had to know what was going on. They had to know what the government was up to. They had to know the news. And they made a very radical decision that horrified European governments, that in order to create an informed electorate, they would center our post office around newspapers, not letters, but newspapers, which sparked our very lively, uncensored, and contentious political culture, which we can certainly see this year of presidential elections. It was really that kind of debate and strong opinions that was written into our national DNA by the founders and executed by the post office. It does make us an argumentative political culture, but a very vital one. And it also set our country on course to become the global information and communications superpower, which it did with really astonishing speed.
Was the post office as important as the church or town hall in the development of cities and towns across the country?
It was extremely important in terms of the physical development of the country, the transformation of what was largely wilderness into a social landscape. People naturally wanted to have communications, especially as they pushed westward, which they did very early in our national life. They wanted to maintain their connections with folks on the East Coast. Businessmen wanted to be able to carry on business correspondence. So they got together and petitioned their congressperson for a post office. So in many of these places, the very first address, and sometimes the only address, was the post office. So that became the center of the town or village. And then the post offices were connected one to another with post roads. So this really, you could look at our early landscape as kind of a map of the postal system. The post office also imposed the federal footprint on vast areas of contested land. Remember, early on in our country, France, Spain, Great Britain, all laid claims to big parts of this continent. So one way to literally plant the flag was to establish a post office. And very importantly, the post office subsidized the nation's transportation system. Not only was America largely undeveloped, it had no roads, it had no real transportation industry. The first mailmen, you could say, were actually post riders, just a guy on a horse. But very rapidly, the post office subsidized the stagecoach industry to carry the mail. The stagecoaches had to have some kind of a road that could accept a wheeled vehicle. And it was just a tremendous stimulus to transportation as well as mail carrying.
You may have just answered this, but I was going to ask you, what has been the societal and economic impact of the post office?
Oh, it's enormous. The social impact. Until the turn of the 20th century, most Americans lived in the country, and most of them got their mail at the general store. a lot of the other early post offices were actually taverns and inns where people would drop by and have a glass of ale and pick up their mail and talk to their neighbors. They were real social community centers, information hubs. Economically, it's hard to overestimate the importance of the post office. It enabled us to grow a national market. It enabled us to shift from an agrarian to industrial economy. During the Civil War, the post office created money orders so that for the first time, people didn't have to put actual valuables, including money, in the mail. They could do a safe money order. It was invented actually so Union soldiers could send their salaries home safely. The post office created postal savings banking around the turn of the 20th century that gave banking services to mostly rural, lower-income Americans that the big banking industry ignored. It was an enormous spur to the publishing and advertising industries because by subsidizing the circulation of printed material, it encouraged people to publish and to advertise. And very importantly, and we see this today with our internet commerce, it really was a major force in developing the consumer culture. Parcel post, again around the turn of the 20th century, meant that rural people were no longer stuck with paying exorbitant prices for a very limited selection of goods at their local general store. They could order things from Montgomery Ward or the Sears catalog and have them delivered much more reasonably by the post office than by the private carriers, Wells Fargo and American Express, who had a monopoly on delivering goods and charged outrageous sums to do so. And last but not least, the post office has always been sometimes the number one major employer of civilians. And even today, it's second only to Walmart as an employer of civilians.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is Winifred Gallagher. She's the author of the book, How the Post Office Created America. Was there a golden age for the post office in America?
Yes, indeed. Around the turn of the 20th century, the progressive era between 1890 to roughly World War I was very bipartisan. Both parties believed that government could help the people more than private businesses. And it also allowed the post office to kind of redefine what postal service was. I mentioned parcel post and postal savings. There's also rural free delivery, which was an enormous boon to rural Americans who no longer had to trudge sometimes by horse or by foot to a local post office. And a big part of that, of the peak of the post office, it's not an accident that the post office peaked at the same time as the great railroad system, because 90% of America's intercity mail was sorted aboard fast-moving trains. Very few people realize that. It was such an efficient system that if you had pretty good rail connections, you could invite a friend who lived in a town 40 miles away for dinner, get a reply, yes or no, from that friend by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and greet the friend at 6 o'clock that night. It was really almost like their version of email.
And what interesting facts were you surprised to learn in the researching of your book?
Oh, there are so many surprises in the post office. I would point out, seeing as we're talking about Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh were a vital postal hub very early in the nation's history. It was really the gateway to the West. You had a very huge, very palatial turn-of-the-century post office that was kind of a wonder of the age for local folks. So you have a very distinguished postal history in Pittsburgh. There are many, many surprises. The fact that post offices once had to use ladies' windows to separate their customers by gender because it wasn't considered decorous for women to go into what had been a male public space. The Pony Express was fascinating. It was never actually part of the post office. It wanted to be. It was a tryout venture, a private enterprise that never did belong to the post office, although it was able to carry the U.S. mail for a few months towards the end of its short 18-month life. Even though it did have such a short life, it helped to keep California a free state in the Union, which was very important during the Civil War.
How and why did the Postal Service fall on such hard times?
It really started back in the early part of the 20th century when we had two world wars and the Great Depression, which understandably starved the post office of finances. The government just couldn't afford to fund the technology it needed to keep up, especially considering at the same time America's mail volume was doubling. So there was more and more mail. People working in the post offices were stuck sometimes using the same technology that Benjamin Franklin would have recognized to sooner or later there had to be a meltdown, and there was. Some of the older listeners will remember in the 60s and 70s there were real breakdowns. The notorious one was Chicago in 1966, where they simply were so overwhelmed with the amount of mail and the inadequate resources that they stopped delivering mail for several weeks. So it was set up kind of for a disaster that some insiders saw. And in 1970, President Richard Nixon changed the post office from the Post Office Department to the United States Postal Service, which is what we have now. And it's an odd kind of government-business hybrid that some would say gets the worst disadvantages of each. It receives no tax dollars like a business, but unlike a business, it's subjected to congressional interference, and it must maintain low prices, very low prices, despite its rising costs. So they've been kind of struggling along with that. They made great grounds in modernizing traditional paper mail and packages, but unfortunately, they missed the opportunity to join the digital revolution in the 1980s. There were wise heads there then, both in Congress and in postal management, who saw that email was the logical extension of paper mail, and they urged the post office to go digital. They predicted in the future that it would have a terrible impact on first-class mail, but people were so traumatized by what the post office had just been through in its meltdown era of the 60s and 70s that they just were too timid to do it. What people should really know about when they read in recent years about the huge postal deficit, that's really unfair to the post office. That was imposed upon them largely by Congress in 2006 when it passed the Postal Accountability and Enforcement Act, which required the post office, among other things, to pre-fund its retiree health care benefits to the tune of $5 billion, with a B, dollars a year for 10 years. This was an enormous burden that no private or public institution had ever been asked to assume, and that accounts for the lion's share of the postal deficit. At the same time, it also imposed very strict restrictions on what new goods and services the post office could implement. So really, many people regard Congress as the post office's worst enemy.
Do you think that the Postal Service can be saved?
Yes. The post office is an enormous national asset. It's 32,000 post offices, a huge delivery, physical delivery system, which is very important for a democracy, not least because in the 2014 elections, 20% of Americans voted by mail, especially in the big Western states. That's likely to increase those numbers. I don't think it will be privatized. Most people, most Americans don't want it to privatize it. It gets no tax dollars. And its prices depress the prices of competitors, which is an advantage for Americans. If there were no post office, FedEx and UPS would charge much, much more. I think what's likeliest to happen is that it will be pared back to only offer profitable services. And here the bright light is parcel delivery, which rose 50%. The volume of parcels delivered by the USPS rose 50% between 2010 and 2015. So that's really a boom that's more or less making up for the loss to first-class mail. So I think that will preserve our national hard copy delivery system, which is very important. And I think in terms of our political culture, that's the likeliest solution. Both red and blue states have a lot of support for the post office. It basically has enjoyed a lot of bipartisan support throughout its history. A lot of the conservative states in the West and Midwest are also very rural states where people depend very heavily on the post office.
Winifred Gallagher has been our guest. She's the author of the book, How the Post Office Created America. She joined us by phone from Wyoming. Winifred Gallagher, thank you so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
It was my pleasure.
We'll have more Essential Pittsburgh after a break. You're listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.